Isaiah chapter 54. Isaiah chapter 54. Tonight I'll read just one verse, verse 17. In fact, I'll just read the first part of this verse where I left you at this morning. Isaiah 54, 17. No weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper. We quote it, we use it, we say it, we pray it, but what does it mean? Well, today I tried to bring things into an historical perspective for you to let you understand when these words were spoken. They were spoken by Isaiah the prophet to King Hezekiah. King Hezekiah is the king of Judea or Judah. The Assyrians have already overcome the king of Israel. They have now come down into the 46 to 48 cities. They've captured at least 46 cities. They have utterly destroyed them. They were cruel. I mentioned that this morning. They devised new ways to put fear inside of people. They would do things like put hooks in their noses after they would capture them to pull them from the streets all the way back to Nineveh. They would put hooks in their lips. You say, you're making that up, preacher. No, it's in 2 Kings. You can read that's exactly what Sennacherib told Hezekiah that he'd do to him. I'm going to put hooks in your nose and hooks in your lips. They would torture people, terrorize people. They were cruel. They were ruthless. There was no army like the Assyrian army. They had developed new means of doing things. And when they got to Jerusalem, after they come to Jerusalem, they have now taken the city of Lachish. And after that, they have come to this siege. Now Jerusalem is under siege. I believe probably a 3-year siege. Some say maybe a 2-year siege. I'm not going to argue the amount of time. All I know is that it was cruel. And they had heard ahead of time, Hezekiah did, of some of the weaponry that they had. But there were some things that they were not prepared for. You see, they had developed things that when they would meet certain situations, they were the first military that was completely paid full-time warriors. It was a full-time job to be a service person and in the military of the Assyrian army. Other civilizations had not paid the warriors. They would go out and they would give them part of the spoils when they returned, but they hired them, that was their job. They became well-trained. And they would take this corps of engineers with them in case that they would hit different cities. Every city was different. No two cities were alike. So there were certain things that had to be overcome. And when they got to Jerusalem, they started developing things that they had never built before. Now they'd gone through this period of time, and Hezekiah knew some things, and he prayed to the Lord, and he knew some of the standard things that the enemy would use against them, and God gave him vision and strength. While Lachish was being under siege, God helped Hezekiah to do some things to prepare. If you've ever traveled in the Holy Land, you've probably been to Hezekiah's tunnel. Hezekiah's tunnel was a tunnel that allowed them to go on the outside of the city to always have access to fresh water and to keep them from starving to death during this rain. See, that was the goal. First of all, they would just besiege the city and wait on them to starve to death when they ran out of food. When they ran out of water, they would surrender. When they would surrender, they would torture them. They would deport the ones they wanted to deport that was useful to them. They would take them on back to Nineveh with them. And the others, it was just really atrocious what they would do to them. It was terrible, the cruelty that they had. It's beyond description. I don't want to be too gross in the description of it, but it was horrible, horrible. It would do you all good to not only read in your Bible, but read the account of the sieges by Assyria to see what they did. And not only did they do it, they were proud of it. They were at a place where they wanted to capture it, to let all of history know how ruthless and how cruel that they were. The devil's cruel. He's ruthless. I know we don't battle against flesh and blood, but we battle against principalities and powers. And here's the thing. There were some things that Hezekiah had already prepared himself for. He had found ways around it. So when they would come in and they would try the normal things, they would put them all in their files and in their ranks. And they developed that system where that they would try to come against them in the usual ways. They had battering rams, and that didn't work in Jerusalem. They couldn't cut them off. They couldn't figure out where they were getting their water, where they were getting their food from. That didn't work. So, of course, these Corps of Engineers, they would find new ways. They tried to tunnel under the city, but see, God had already prepared the walls of the city that they were deep enough that they couldn't tunnel under them. They didn't have wooden gates. They would set the gates on fire, and that would be their end. That didn't work against them. They tried all the usual weapons, but it failed. So they started developing new weapons just for Jerusalem. Do you know where the composite bow was developed? By the Assyrians. It was developed to come against Jerusalem. They not only had archers, but they had archers with composite bows. Anybody that does any hunting with a bow, you know the force of a composite bow is much greater than the force of a longbow. So they'd seen longbows, but now they're seeing these composite bows. They've never seen anything like that before. They've never seen weaponry like this, but they withstood. But as time went on, Hezekiah's heart began to faint. He saw all of the things that were coming in against him. And finally, he just got weary of the battle. Maybe I'm not talking to people that's fought any battles, but I believe some of you have fought battles. And I think some of you are just going to understand what I'm about to say. Sometimes I just get so tired. I get tired of fighting the same battles, seeing the same thing. Get tired of seeing people fall into the same situations because the devil uses the same thing over and over and over. And after a while, you're already weary from it. But God gives you strength, and God keeps you coming, and God keeps you going forth, and he's there helping you each step of the way. But then on this particular day that I read to you, it was different. He had seen the military boots. He had seen the composite bows. He had seen the horses with brass plates protecting them like armor. He had seen all of the iron weaponry. See, all they'd seen to this point was brass weaponry. Now they're seeing iron used for the first time. Iron that they couldn't penetrate, Jerusalem couldn't penetrate with their normal weapons to come against it. It wouldn't even faze them. But then one day he gets up, and the word of God records what Sennacherib did. Sennacherib had said, you remember the letter when Hezekiah first got it, he ran to the house of God and he laid it out before the Lord, and he said, "Look, Lord, this is what this evil king says he's going to do to your people." And he held on to the horns of the altar and read the letter before God, saying, "God, you said this city was anointed and blessed through King David. And now he's doing this to your people, and he's coming against your people, and he's using weapons. And Lord, this is what he's going to do." And God encouraged his heart, so he kept going. Isn't it something how sometimes you feel like you get your second wind? And you feel like, "I can go." But then one day you get up and the enemy hits you with something that you never saw it coming. And you never expected that. You had survived other weapons that he had used against other people, and God had given you strength to survive it. But now there's a weapon so big, so mighty. Sennacherib told him, "I'm going to cut down the cedars of Lebanon." He thought that was just painful because of their love for the cedars of Lebanon. You know how they love the cedars of Lebanon. You know how they love the fir trees. In the Word of God, if you've read anything in the Old Testament, you saw the role that they played in the temple, how important that they were in their worship. But it's what he did with those big cedars. He had had siege machines before, But he built the biggest siege machine that he had ever built before. You've seen those machines. It's like a great big tower that ascends up. He built one high enough that he thought his warriors could jump off of that tower over the walls into the city and destroy them from the inside, since they couldn't penetrate the walls. When he got up and saw these monstrous siege machines as they were moving them in, it's something that he had never seen before. A weapon that he had never seen before. And he thought to himself, I can't take any more. What am I going to do? And standing there on the wall, looking out on the city, out of the city, onto the enemy, seeing these weapons that was formed. Notice what the Word of God says. No weapon formed against thee, underline the word thee, shall prosper. You need to hear this. You may have won a lot of battles, but you trust me. The devil's going to prepare something just for you. He'll prepare weapons just for you. He's attacked other people and you withstood it. He uses some of the common things. Finances, sure. Job loss, sure. Sorrow, sure. Sickness, sure. Those are all weapons we know that he uses against us. But when he doesn't win that way, you bear in mind, he'll bring a new weapon at a new angle, that when you see it, you're going to say, there's not enough left in me to overcome it. This church has stood a lot of things and withstood a lot of things. And please don't take this that I am bragging. I am not bragging. I am praising God. This church has seen a lot of weapons come against it. Weapons that have destroyed other churches. But it hasn't worked here. You know what I'm talking about. Some of you came from churches that used to be on fire and they used to praise God and you used to have spiritual services that now they just have a handful. Not because of COVID, because of fussing and fighting. You were in those churches and it was drama, 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 drama. There's some of you that honestly, if you had a say in this church, all it'd be is one big drama affair. Because you're a gossip. And you're a troublemaker. You've always got something. You can't get along with nobody. Nobody. You can't keep a friend no time at all. And you get friends and you toss them away to the wind like they're nothing. Boy, I am feeling the Holy Ghost right now. So what we need to do, we need to change things around. We need to change the structure of the board. We need to change the leadership. Not on my watch. Tell the next guy about it. Not me. I don't have time for drama. I'm too old, I'm too tired, and it don't work, it never has worked. It's just a game to keep people fussing and fighting, and I don't come in here to fuss and fight. I come in here to worship the living God. And as long as you praise God, you don't have time to bicker with one another. But with well, glory, but when you get right with God, and the only thing that matters is the mighty power and presence of the Holy Ghost, when that means more than anything else, then you'll put that as a top priority, and the devil will say, I've got to find another weapon.
Right. Come on now. Good.
It didn't work. So he finds something else. And he tries it. And Hezekiah said, Lord, I can't do it. And Isaiah said, wait a minute. You did okay when the devil used his old bag of tricks on you. But now he's got something new. And you're done. You think you're done? I've come with a word from the Lord. No weapon formed against thee. Formed against, do you hear me, Hezekiah? No weapon formed against thee shall prosper. Let him build what he wants to build. Let him connive. Let him move. Let him bring whatever he wants to. But if you make your mind up that you're going to praise the living God and understand that the battle is the Lord's, it never was yours, Hezekiah. It never did belong to you. The battle has always been the Lord's. God's the one that's fighting for you. You would have been gone a long time ago if the Lord wasn't fighting the battle for you. You'd already been out of the picture, but it was God that stepped in. And by the way, just because you don't see it yet, God's got a plan. And God says that weapon shall not prosper. You may not have come against it before, but it's not going to win. It's not going to kill you. It's not going to destroy you. It's not going to get your family. It's not going to get your church. It's not going to get your soul. It's not going to get your blessings. It's not going to get anything that God has given to you. No weapon formed against thee shall prosper. This is what I love about serving God. He's merciful and he's gracious. But at the perfect time, he has an answer. And he has a solution that's so good, you can't even come up with it. You couldn't think of it. Well, what did he do? 2 Kings chapter 19 tells us exactly what he did. God whispered in the ear of the angel of the Lord.
Yeah, buddy.
Go on down there and take care of them.
Yep.
2 Kings chapter 19 tells you that in one night, when Sennacherib woke up the next morning, 185,000 were dead. I don't think you got that. Hezekiah didn't shoot a bow.
Nope.
Hezekiah didn't have a catapult. Hezekiah didn't have any way to overcome, but God did with one angel what nobody else could do. And Sennacherib went back, and in his records of history, he records that he seized the place Jerusalem, but it never says that he captured it or overcame it or brought it to defeat. In fact, it was just the opposite. God said he's going to go back home the same way he came. He said, I'm sending him back where he came from. The devil has come all the way from hell to bring everything he can against you. But when God gets through with him tonight, he's going right back. He's going back where he came from. God says, I will win this battle. I will fight for you. I will overcome. The Bible says, the angel of the Lord encampeth around about them that love and serve him. Are they not sent to us as ministering spirits? So the devil can come on. I'm not a match for him, but God just needs one angel. One angel can send him back where he came from. God has the final say. No weapon formed against thee shall prosper. Let the sprinter break down. Let the transmission go out. Let Darren stay in Missouri while you all come home. No weapon formed against thee shall prosper. Do you honestly think I'm counting on people to get me through? I love people and I thank God for people. But the truth of the matter is, people are people. The best of people will let you down. But let me remind you, friend, God will never let you down. You'll never be disappointed with God. God has all power and he's taken care of everything. So he's hit you at a place that you thought you'd never be hit. You were young, you were on top of the world. You didn't think you'd ever battle sickness. But now here it's come to you. That's for old folks. That's not for young, healthy folks. But here it's come to you. The truth of the matter is, no weapon formed against thee shall prosper. He's hit you in places that you never dreamed you would be hit. Brought things against you that you never thought that you would face. But the truth of the matter is, we are war eagles and we have gone to higher heights, and God is in control and God is taking care of all of it. Anybody fighting anything? Can I tell you, no weapon formed against thee. You may have never seen it before. Oh, if it was something you'd seen before, you know what to do with it. But this is something that you don't know what to do with. God says, don't you worry. You do what you've been doing. You keep trusting me, and I'll take care of the rest.